Folks, whenever I start to read the Bible, what it does for me is it fills me with a real sense of joy and happiness. And the reason it does that is because when I start to read about the God who I serve, I realise that he's a God who's absolutely full of love. A God who's pure like no other being. A God who is perfect like no one else could be. And that's the God who I serve. And when I read the Bible, it fills me with joy as well, because what I see in the scriptures is that he's got a plan. From the very start of time and before that, he's got a plan. And his plan's perfect. And this God loves me, and he loves me personally, and he's got a perfect plan, and he works out that plan throughout all of time. His plan has always been successful and always been implemented. And what I can see from that is that his plan always will be implemented. That fills me with joy. But when I read the Bible, what I also see is that it's full of people who know exactly what I know. That God's a loving God, he's a perfect God, he's a great plan, he's almighty, all-powerful. And these people that I see in the Bible are full of fear, full of discouragement, and really struggling in life. And I can identify with that. I can identify with a struggle. I can identify with being frightened in life circumstances and the things that God calls me to do, places that he calls me to go. And I can identify with being discouraged in all of that as well. It encourages me that that's the case. I look at somebody like Moses. Moses was called by God and said, listen, we want you to go back to Pharaoh, and I want you to bring my people out and to lead them out in their land of freedom. Oh, here, don't be sent me. I can't speak. I'm no use. Get somebody else to go. You see somebody like Gideon, and he said, God comes along and says, listen, you've been chosen to lead the people. And he says, I admit, you don't want to be picking me. My family's the weakest family in the whole of Israel, and I'm the weakest person in the family. Saul is crowned king, and he said that he's a head bigger than anybody else in the whole country. God's chosen him, and then they go looking for him, and they find him hiding in amongst the baggage, afraid to come out and take his role as leader of the people. You look at Elijah, performs his greatest act as a prophet on Mount Carmel, has all the prophets of Baal killed, should be on an absolute buzz, and yet he knows that Jezebel has found out, his life's at risk, and he runs for days away, and he's knackered, lying on the ground, saying, God, please kill me. I've had enough. That's me done. I'm out. I look at people like the disciples who are with Jesus, and they're buzzing about having a meal with him, and they say, listen, I'll never leave you, Jesus. Even if it costs me my life, I'll stay with you forever. Within a couple of hours, every single one of them have trotted off and left him. And so what I see is that there are people there who know exactly what I know, and who think exactly like I think, and behave exactly how I behave at times. And with all those feelings of fear, maybe you recognise that yourself. Well, I know you do, because you're like me. You're human, and you're like these people. There are things that you're facing in your life, and you know that message of the gospel. You know that God is all-powerful. You know that God has a plan, and yet when you reach these things in your life, you're frightened, you're discouraged, and you're sometimes lying in a heap. And I'm really glad that the Bible's written the way it is, because this passage of the Bible is written for people like you, and it's written for people like me. Those people with those feelings of fear and inadequacy. And that's where our book starts today in Joshua. You've got a leader who's lying in that state, and you've got a whole nation of people who are feeling exactly the same way. Discouraged, fearful, and worried about the direction that life's going. Let me give you a bit of background. Their leader Moses has just died in the previous chapter of the book that's just before it. He's led them for over 40 years, and he led their mummies and their daddies. But their mummies and daddies are all dead now. Every one of them died in the desert, wandering about for 40 years because of their disobedience. But this guy was a top-notch leader. If they wanted to know where they were to go, what they were to do, the direction for their life, speak to Moses. And Moses spoke to them the words of God. He was the one who mediated between God and them. You know, whenever they wanted to know how to have their sins dealt with, God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. How are we to live, Moses? Well, here's the law. I'll write it down for you. How do we get rid of our sin? We can see that we're not measuring up to the commandments. How do we get rid of the sin? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll build a tabernacle. We'll put this tent together where you can come and sacrifice, and you can be rid of your sin. It can be atoned for at this particular place. Their whole life, their way of living, everything that they had was set up by this guy, and now he's dead. And what we read in verse 1 there is that his assistant's taken over, a fellow called Joshua. And Joshua's a good guy. There were only two fellows got into the promised land who were there originally, and it was Joshua and a fellow called Caleb. Both of them were good spies that went out and brought a good report and who were faithful to God and all that went on in the desert. And here this guy has been led by God as Moses' assistant. He's been ordained back in the book of Deuteronomy. And look at verse 9. Verse 9 will tell you exactly where these people are at. From the leadership down to the normal man in the street, where their thinking's at. It tells you that they are sitting in weakness, in fear, in terror, and in discouragement as they face the future and the plans that God has for them. God's got direction for their life. He's calling them to go to a certain place to do a certain thing, and these people are sitting in absolute terror and fear. They're absolutely discouraged. Can you identify with that? As you look to what God is calling you to walk through at the minute, the direction where things are heading for, do you feel discouraged? Do you feel fear? Do you feel terror? As you seek to live out your life for God and where he's called you and what he's called you to do you perhaps feel too weak to do what he's asking you to do? And that weakness and fear appears in a million different circumstances. You may be called to run into a battle with something physical, and you just think, listen, I'm not up for that. I don't have the strength to face it. Maybe a mental battle where you think to yourself, you know, I just haven't got the strength mentally to get through what God's calling me to at the minute. Maybe it's grief or loneliness, and you think to yourself, you know, I just can't go through that, what God is expecting me to go through. And maybe spiritually that you're really struggling at the minute to feel a sense of God's presence or direction in your life. Maybe you're discouraged over loved ones that you know and love, and they're not Christians. And you've been praying for them for years and years and years. And you think to yourself, but is God ever going to work? Will they ever see this? Will they ever get it? Maybe it's people you work with, maybe relationships within your family or within your wider family circle, and they just don't seem to be changing. Maybe it's the future of this church. You look out and say, well, how does God expect us to grow? How does God expect us to increase? How does God expect us to take out this good news? And maybe you just feel weak and unable to face whatever it is you're called to. Let me just say to you, this passage is written for you. And it's recorded for you. It's recorded for your encouragement. And it's recorded to encourage you, to send you out to think the way that you should be thinking. I want you to look at the very first thing that encourages these people. And then we're going to take a look and see how does that work for us. The very first thing that these people are encouraged to do when they're feeling frightened, discouraged, and weak is to remember the promise that God is with them in the middle of what they're going through. Look at verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, look at the end of verse 9. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, there's nights in our house that the bedroom door opens at maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, and you'll have a small person standing there. And it's funny that your presence just eliminates fear. That person's able to go back to bed and able to go to sleep and perfectly just because they know that you're there. If you're going for a hospital visit and it's a big visit, it's really lovely to have somebody to go there with you, because that very presence of that person with you just brings encouragement, it brings help. I don't know if you've ever walked through the country or anywhere at night time. Going with somebody else, walking with you on the road, makes such a difference when you're out walking like that. If you have to go into a big crowd and there are two of you, it makes such a difference when there's somebody else with you. You know, when I was growing up in my late teens and early 20s, I ran about with a boy called Big Al. Big Al was big. In every shape, he was just a... And you could go into the most dodgy of places with Big Al, and I never felt a moment of fear. Never. Now, I wouldn't have went there on my own. But with Big Al, I felt all right. And you know something? The fact is that it's exactly the same of what God offers, only the help that that person brings to you pales into insignificance as to what God brings to the table. We were looking at this last week. We were told God makes his home inside you. In your inner man, he comes in and makes his home within you by his Holy Spirit. And yet, do you know something? We forget that. And yet, what's the very last promise Jesus gives? He's just about to go back to heaven at the end of Matthew's gospel. And he says, surely, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. If you're somewhere and you're a believer and follower of Christ, God's there. He says, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. And folks, that knowledge is what you need to be telling yourself and reminding yourself of, because it's the fact if you're a follower of Christ. That's what enabled Peter, the night before he's to be tried, to be able to go into a sound sleep, that he has to be kicked awake between two soldiers out of a prison cell. How do you sleep like that in that sort of situation? You know that God's with you. You think of Paul and Silas in the middle of a prison cell in Philippi. They've just had the back scourged off them, the skin's removed from their back. They're praising God in the stocks. The place near falls apart with an earthquake. The doors are popping out of the prison left, right and centre. And there's no fear, because they're aware that the presence of God is with them. They knew they weren't alone. And folks, that is the one thing that will enable you to stand in all of life's circumstances, no matter what God's calling you to. But you need to remember who it is that's with you. It's not Big Al. You've got a God who made Big Al and a billion others like him, that made this planet, called it into being just by speaking. And he's the one who comes and lives within you and goes with you to everything that you're going to. And that's the first thing you need to remember. The second and the last thing that you need to remember is that you've got God's word. These Israelites were called to remember the direction that God had brought them to. Moses had written down for them the direction of what God had said they were to do, how they were to live, the direction they were to go, what they were to do. And they could experience God's favour and blessing by following exactly what God had told them to do, by obeying the promises and the commands that God had written down for them. And folks, do you want to experience God's peace and direction in your life? What I would say to you is, read God's word. This is one of the biggest things. Every one of you has this available to you 24 hours a day. You can access the Bible at any stage, at any time. And yet it's the biggest thing that I find neglected amongst Christians and churches throughout Northern Ireland. An inability to pick up God's word and actually just to read it. There's not one of you that goes through a day without eating. I can tell that by looking at you. Not one of you. And yet you will go for weeks without reading God's word, without in taking the direction. And it's not just reading God's word, it's mulling it over and saying to yourself, well, listen, what was I reading this morning? What does that actually say? And when you start to put into action what you're reading, mulling that over and saying, listen, what's the direction for my life? Where should I be going? How should I be thinking? How should I be treating this person? How should I be approaching this situation? Where should I be going in work? What should I be doing in this relationship within my family? You'll start to find that you've got God's direction in the way that you should be going. And what you'll find is that whenever that terror starts to raise its head, which it will, when that fear starts to come lurking back into your head about where and what and why and what if, that God's word will start to counteract the fear. Now let me just pick up two things. Let's have a small clinic for just the last two bits here. Maybe you're feeling fear at things in your life and you're looking at situations and there's a constant just sense of dread and fear. Can I say to you, please examine to make sure that you actually are a Christian, that you're a follower of Jesus. I said last week that if you're not, it's so easily remedied. That it's basically you coming in and saying, listen, I'm steering my life. I choose the direction. I choose what I think. I choose that. And it's simply you saying, listen, I want to repent of that. I want to hand that over to somebody else to give them the control of my life. I want God to come in and I want him to lead and direct and I want him to make the decisions. That's repentance. But if you are following Christ and you're feeling fearful and you're feeling discouraged and you're feeling weak, remember the two things that I've said to you this morning. Who it is that's with you. God goes into all those things with you. He's with you in work. He's with you in your relationships. He's with you as you lie in bed at night. You think over those things. And as I said to you earlier with the children, you will find this constant circle of where you will forget that. You forget that God's with you, and you will go back and you will find yourself in knots. You will find yourself with fear. And you think, well, I don't want this. You know, when that, and you go back and you're, well, who's with me? Remind yourself who it is that goes through that with you. A God who says, listen, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm a friend who'll stick closer than a brother. And when you're reminding yourself of that, be disciplined in how you live. The word disciple, we're disciples of Jesus. And that word disciple comes from the word discipline. It means that you're disciplined enough to say, listen, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to sit down today and I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to find out what God has to say to me, and I'm going to mull it in my head during the day. I'm going to think of it at lunchtime. I'm going to think of it in the afternoon. And what you will find is, as you think of that, it is God who helps you to understand what you're reading, that Holy Spirit living inside you. And it's Him who will enable you to live it out as well. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't live this out. It's impossible. So, two things. Remember who it is that's with you. It's not Big Al. It's God Almighty. And remember too that you've got His promises and His word. And if you stand on those, what you'll find is it will drive the direction of your life, how you think, where you're going, how you react, and how you respond in each situation. Folks, that is a really simple thing today. But I hope that you will take that, you'll mull it over yourself, and that you'll apply it to your heart. It has done me good even just looking at it this week. Let's just pray together. Father, you know every fear that, Lord, comes into our hearts, and it'll be different for each one of us. Lord, we fear different things. And Father, they come in different ways. And Father, we want to thank you that you're the one who made us. And Father, you know exactly how we work. You know exactly how it is we think. And Father, you have provided for each one of us. Father, we know in our heart of hearts that you're the God of all love, who is perfect in kindness, goodness, grace, mercy. Father, we know that you've got a perfect plan that ran from creation to the fall, that ran from that to the cross, and that will be running to the day that your Son returns again, and Lord, you take your people home to heaven. And Father, that plan will be implemented. Lord, we just pray that you will help us to be, Lord, aware and remind ourselves of your presence with us. Lord, we may not always feel that. We may feel distant, we may feel cold, but it doesn't make any difference to the promises. Your word is certain. And Father, we just pray too that you'll help us to keep continuing to read the Bible. Lord, even at times when we find it difficult, even when times when we feel that we're not getting anything from it, Father, help us to be disciplined enough to keep going, to mull over what it is that you're saying, and that you, by your Holy Spirit, will encourage us, that, Father, you will help us to go into the situations you've called us to walk in, Lord, without fear, with a real sense of encouragement and a real sense of hope, because, Lord, we know that we go there in those places by your will, through your power, for your purpose and your glory, as part of your plan. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.